The Greek term for word is logos. And the Greek word for 10 is deca. And so the Decalogue, you've probably heard of the Decalogue, is the 10 words. And we more familiarly know of those as the 10 commandments, but it's literally the 10 words. And word and law in the Old Testament are synonymous, and those words get used interchangeably. And the scriptures love to kind of play on that connection, and so does the liturgy. Because there's another logos, which is the word par excellence, which is Christ. And Christ is the Word of God. And so in the liturgy, we celebrate the Word in several different ways. It's the scriptural Word that we proclaim at the ambo, but it's also Christ. And so the gospel book, which is the words of Christ, the life of Christ, it gets a special reverence, kissing and incensing and processing, because it's celebrating that Word, which is Christ. But Word becomes flesh. And so the eternal Word of Christ that had been for all eternity at one point in history takes on a body, takes on flesh. And so, sacramentally speaking, the Word from the ambo takes on flesh at the altar in the consecration of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And all of this is law, too. So Jesus is fairly disobedient to the law from time to time. He touches dead people. He touches lepers. He doesn't always wash his hands correctly. He heals on the Sabbath, which is strictly against the law. And yet at the same time, Jesus says, not one letter, not one iota of the law will be done away with until it all comes true. So he is the Word, he is the law of the universe, and it gets fulfilled, it comes true in him. Because for Jesus, the exterior and the interior are absolutely one. He is consistent. What he says with his lips, he does with his body. What he ritually observes speaks from his heart. They're absolutely one. Now for us, that doesn't really take place all the time. We're often inconsistent. We say things with our lips, but then we could easily be accused of not putting that into action by our lives. We pray things and do things ritually here in the church, but we could easily be accused of not living that out in the world the rest of the week. Everybody is guilty of that, except Christ and Mary. On this side of the kingdom, we're always struggling with that tension between the external actions and words and the interior heart. Why is that so? Well, it's one of the effects of original sin. We're all in denial. We're all out of touch with ourselves. It's not that we're evil people, any more than the Pharisees were evil people. They weren't conniving and trying to figure out ways to disobey the heart. They weren't trying to be hypocrites or inconsistent. They just didn't know how inconsistent they were. And that's the same with us. It's not that we're evil people, we just are not that self-aware. Now, there are various ways that we can get aware. One is that family or friends can tell us the truth about ourselves. They can point out these inconsistencies. The problem with that, of course, is we often don't take it right. We get defensive and we push it away with body language or even words of hostility. We push away because we don't want to hear that. Another way of getting it is through psychological counseling. And that takes a long time, and it's often quite expensive. Another way is through spiritual direction. But there aren't very many spiritual directors available. There isn't one for everybody here. The best way, I think, is through prayer. Prayer is it's being in conversation with God. It's speaking to God from my heart and being as honest and real as I can before God. But it's also listening to God tell me who I am. Now, one of the problems we Catholics have is we have all kinds of rote prayers, and we have the rosary, and we have the chaplet, and you know, we have all these various prayers that we can say, and it's easy to get in the habit of just rattling those off and saying, okay, I've prayed. But there's another part of prayer that is silence, shutting up so that God can speak, and that's harder. And so when you finish the rosary or when you finish your set of prayers, try to practice starting out small at first, a minute or two, and letting it grow over time. But being quiet, being still, with your heart open to God revealing you to you. Nobody knows you better than God. And nobody can tell you more mercifully than God. Because when we hear the truth about ourselves from other people, it often comes across in the wrong way. Or at least that's the way we're hearing it. But when God reveals us to us, it's always experienced as mercy and love. God, who is the judge of all, God is the judge. But when He judges us, it comes across as mercy. It comes across as redemption, as salvation, as freeing. And yes, the tears flow, but the tears that flow aren't tears of shame. They're tears of release. It's like all of a sudden here's something about myself that I've been pushing down and denying for who knows how many years. And when it comes out with God's help in prayer, it just comes as release. It's similar to the sacrament of reconciliation. It's reconciliation with God in that release kind of way, where I build up the courage through reflection and self-awareness of my sin. And I say it out loud in confession, and I hear with my ears the words of absolution. And let me tell you, I see a lot of tears in confession. That's why we always have a box of Kleenex there. Because it's the tears of release, of freedom, of salvation. Now, we do certain ritual things here, just like the Jews did in Jesus' time. And we sometimes use incense, and we have specific prayers and certain specific actions that we do, and all of these are very helpful. St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he means that in two different ways. He means that liturgically by worshiping with your body. And so we have these Catholic calisthenics, don't we? Standing and sitting and kneeling and processing. And these are all bodily actions that we do in response to the Word and in joining ourselves to the Word. We put our bodies into it. It's not just some mental activity. It's the whole self. And when you put your body into it, that holistic sense of worship is very healing, and it does a lot in terms of transforming the heart. You know, Isaiah and other prophets berated the priests in the sanctuary and the people in the temple, saying, well, your liturgies are wonderful, your sacrifices are well done, but you don't have transformed hearts. Well, the same could be true for us. It's easy to come here and do the ritual because we've all got it kind of memorized. We know when to stand, we know when to sit. If you're new to the Catholic Church, you say, how do they know when to do that? You know, we know all the responses, and they just come out almost automatically. And there's something beautiful and wonderful about that. But the danger is that it can just become empty ritual. It's just something we do. and it doesn't really transform our hearts. Our goal in the spiritual life is, of course, to become more like Jesus. We have been baptized into Him, and St. Paul talks about putting on Christ and becoming Christ. And St. Augustine says, become what you eat at the altar. Be transformed into Christ. Put on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. In other words, in the same way that in Jesus, that exterior ritual and words on the lips and the interior heart were absolutely in union, that's what we're heading for too. And the deeper and more consistent our prayer becomes, the more that's going to happen. I just don't know that it can happen outside of prayer. Prayer here, prayer at home, making your life a prayer, constantly being aware of your being in the presence of God, and knowing that God loves you and forgives you and heals you and wants the best for you. The more you give yourself over to that trust and that hope, the more you get transformed. And so the exterior actions and the interior heart become one.